I think my mind was going in like, oh yeah, I'm open and I'm excited to learn. But as we did it, I could sense that my heart was maybe more in that black or white space and like how much tension there was.
When you're in a space with somebody that thinks really, really differently about something that you care about so deeply, it was really testing the limits of my own capacity to care and understand somebody I disagree with.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here is a story about 14 strangers with different views on abortion meeting for 4 days to try and find common ground. I'm joined by Ali Muldrow and Bria Halama. They were two of the 14 participants in a workshop organized by an initiative called Citizens Solutions, which is created by the nonpartisan nonprofit Builders Movement. It took place in Wisconsin, where abortion laws are, as we speak, being litigated in the state Supreme Court. And I'm so thrilled to have Ali and Bria here to talk about their experience. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Julie. It's good to be here.
I'd love to know why you both agreed to participate in the first place. Bria, let's start with you.
Yeah, so I was approached by a friend who was connected with Pro-Life Wisconsin, and she thought that I would be a good fit for this kind of conversation and this experiment.
And was this then, is abortion something that you've spent a lot of time thinking about and that you have felt strongly about?
Yeah, definitely. I was raised with a pro-life mentality. And so that was just kind of been my formation. But I think through my own experiences in college and kind of going away from my faith and maybe going a little bit away from a pro-life perspective and then coming back into my faith and kind of chewing on more like, what are my views on this? What do I believe? Because I see both sides of it. So it's definitely something that I've had to work through on my own and had conversations with different people and struggle with some of these conversations. So
what is your professional affiliation, Bria?
I'm a mental health counselor.
Do you identify as a Catholic mm-hmm. mental health counselor?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I guess it depends. Like, there are some places where I'm like advertised as like Catholic mental health professional, and then just as a psychotherapist. So kind of just depends on, but have a strong Catholic identity.
Hmm. Thank you for sharing that. We'll dig in a little bit more into sort of what this experience was like for you. Ali, how about you? What drew you to this? Why did you say yes?
Yeah, so this organization, you know, Citizen Solutions, reached out to me, and I was excited as a person who's been in favor of abortion access, as a person who has had an abortion. I think it was really important to me to hear kind of how people arrive at their opinions and how people's experiences inform the way they think about abortion access.
And you're also involved, you're the executive director of an organization that's involved in abortion access, isn't that right?
Yes, I'm the executive director of WMF Wisconsin, which is a fund. And we make sure that nobody is denied access to the health care that they need in terms of abortion care because they can't afford it.
So when you were invited then to come into this room, spend a couple of days hearing perspectives that are different from your own, as well as voicing your own perspective, were you looking for common ground? I mean, did you expect that there would be much agreement across this divide of, you know, pro-life, pro-choice? Ali?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of what we were tasked with was coming up with policies around abortion and reproductive rights that we all could agree on, that all 14 of us coming from very different perspectives could agree on. And what we really agreed on was taking care of people. What we really agreed on was using resources to make sure that people have the healthcare that they need, to make sure that people have accurate information and are informed to, you know, make people's lives better throughout our community.
Could you list off for us the things that the group was actually able to agree on then, these policies?
Yeah, so there were five initiatives our group agreed on, and I think we're pretty excited to see happen here in Wisconsin. The first was human growth and development education, paid family leave for both
adoptive and foster parents, as well as folks who have their own biological children. All options information at all like reproductively informed medical spaces.
So that the idea there is that like everything gets on the table, whether you go to a place that does abortion or discourages it, like all the options are sort of presented at all the places. Is that what
you're saying? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Another one of the policies that we endorsed as a group was extending Medicaid up to 12 months for postpartum parents and babies. We're one of two states that kicks people off Medicaid right after they give birth, within like weeks of giving birth. And we wanted to change that and make sure that first year people have what they need in terms of healthcare and a child tax credit, a state refundable child tax credit that would, help people economically with parenting. There were these moments where we were really able to transcend the conversation together and really think about like root causes of unwanted pregnancies. And, I think there was a lot of space for us to be proactive in addressing issues that connect us. Because I think if the value is people's dignity and people's safety and people's health, I think there's all kinds of ways to think about that.
What for you, Ali, felt like you might possibly gain from listening like that?
I think I'm always open to the possibility of loving people, of caring about people. And I think being exposed to somebody's culture and how their faith has informed their culture provided a really unique opportunity to honor somebody and what makes them different than myself. And also to hope that we can do that for each other, right? And like Bria, part of what informs my stance on this issue is how I was raised. And so what I was oriented to as a child was really Black history, the history of Black women being treated as breeding animals, the history of Black women having their children sold, the history of Black women not having autonomy and rights over their own bodies, and the long-term implications of that. And so I think Black women are uniquely positioned in our society to understand what it's like to have your rights taken away, to have your dignity and your safety devalued, to be treated as a tool for the sexual pleasure and entertainment of others, and to have your reproductive health leveraged against you.
Bria, what were you open to? I mean, did you expect to, I don't know, change your mind or change your position in any way when you entered into this 3-day, 4-day event?
Yeah. I'm just so moved by Ali. Just your perspective. I've learned so much from you. I think when I look back on the time, I think my mind was going in like, oh yeah, I'm open and I'm excited to learn. But as we did it, I could sense that my heart was maybe more in that black or white space and like how much tension there was as I listened to people's stories. So I think there was a little bit of both. I was open, but then realized that there was a closed offness that I needed to work through as the days went on.
There were these moments where it's kind of testing your values. Like if you're a person who's like, I want to love as many people as possible, when you're in a space with somebody that thinks really, really differently about something that you care about so deeply. I care about abortion access. I care about people's reproductive rights with a great deal of conviction. It was really testing the limits of my own capacity to care and understand somebody I disagree with.
Can you think of a moment where that happened for you, Ali, and sort of how you worked through that?
So this is why I love having this conversation with Bria. And I think we've talked about this a little bit, but like Bria represented kind of the hardest moments I had in those conversations, as well as some of the most affirming moments. And I'm going to give two examples. So at one point, we were getting a lot of slides about maternal mortality and the disproportionate death of Black women who
You know, Black women are more likely to die during their pregnancies, during their labor and delivery, during their first year of motherhood than any other group in Wisconsin. And we were hearing about the infant mortality rate of Black children being far higher than any other group. And I looked around and realized, like, nobody seemed upset about it. And Bria had kind of had a more emotional moment earlier. And I was frustrated with her. I was like, why is it easy for you to cry about the term abortion care? And yet, you know, your eyes are completely dry when we're talking about how much more likely Black women and Black babies are to die in this community. I'm angry about that. And she really held space for me to confront that dynamic and how that felt for me. And then later, like, we were kind of going back and forth as a group, and there was so much anxiety and stress. And Bria was sitting next to me, and she said, you know, what if we trust women? Like, you know, like, it was just like this moment where I was like, fell completely in love with her ability to think about this expansively. And she, and I have to admit, like, she just completely blew me away. She completely surprised me, because I didn't anticipate anyone who was identifying as pro-life to talk about listening to women and trusting women. And it was a revelation. She was a revelation. And both in ways that were deeply challenging and in ways that felt so affirming and so supportive.
Bria, what do you recall about that challenging moment she described?
Interesting, being reminded of, yeah, the stress and the tension and just like how we were trying so hard, you know, to lean in and to do this respectfully, but we're all being so triggered and, yeah, so much. I think we're both like beautifully intense women and like to feel these moments and then to be able to like, then we were seated next to each other, I think the second day, and like just had some conversations, just like acknowledging each other and like apologizing, and just to see her openness to receiving like my apology when I was like, you're right. Like, my heart was opened and moved by this and it wasn't by that. And why was that? Like, I need to own that, and I need to check in there and see how I can make more room in my heart and how I can, just increase my capacity to love and to receive and just to be moved by the truth of these situations and like the heartbreak and the experience of other people, even when they represent threats to my worldview or to different things that I might be holding. It's like, wow, how do I see this person not as a threat, but as someone to be loved and someone to be in dialogue with? So yeah, I think I was feeling a tension of like, wow, I'm coming in with these beliefs, these pro-life beliefs that feel so intense and so strong. And then I'm hearing these other stories that are just breaking my heart and are just like, and I can't remember if it was something that you had said, Ali, or if it was a combination of other women's stories or their things that they were sharing that made me think of my clients and made me think of like the importance of like when someone comes into my office and I'm trying to get to know them and how important it is that I believe them and that I hear them and that I trust them, that this is where they're at. And this is what they need to do, or this is where they are. And I need to meet them where they are. And that means, and that's, I still love them. Like, I still will their good. I still desire that they would have the best life possible. And that even if they're doing things that I don't agree with, or even if they're coming into my office and saying like, I need to get an abortion, that I can be with them in that. And I can trust and say like, okay, your experience up to this point has led you here. How can I still love you and support you and be with you in this moment as you go through it and in the aftermath? And so I felt, yeah, that tension of like, oh my gosh, this is where it's like, it's so messy because I want to believe and I want to trust where people are at and to let them like be free to be where they need to be and go where they need to go. And that doesn't need to threaten my beliefs. But it also doesn't mean that I can at all go against their free will or do anything to disrespect their dignity that way. So yeah, that's kind of what was happening within me as I was processing that and said that.
How were you able, how was this group of 14 strangers and you two specifically able to sort of stay in that productive space for 3 days?
I think part of what allowed us to be in that space together was that we could both be in this work together And make space to kind of take a step back, because we were in a large enough group that there wasn't this constant pressure to prove your point. You know, it was about something bigger than that. And I think in some ways, you know, being right or dominating the conversation wasn't an option in this space. Like the real option was like being in connection and being in community and figuring that out. It felt like there was so much work done by the folks who supported us to allow us to see one another's shared humanity and really make the space to respect one another as full people, you know, as not defined by a singular issue or a singular stance. It was hard to just like paint each other as enemies in that space. Like, we are neighbors.
Did either of you end up changing your mind at all, changing your position at all on the topic of abortion?
I think I left with the same position with like, you know, like objective reality and subjective reality. Like, I think I stayed firm in my objective belief as someone who's pro-life. But I think my subjective experience changed, and I had more room to hold the subjective experiences of others. And I think I just left thinking like, this is more messy than I came in thinking it was. Like, this is so much harder than I thought it was. And just thinking like, we need to do more to be a community and to support one another rather than coming from either side or thinking black or white. Like, we just like need to work on having more room for each other.
Ali, how about for you? What, if anything, has changed for you?
I mean, I think that like the policy perspective I have is a salient perspective in terms of the role of government. I think it was a life-changing experience for me to really be open to for the first time what it means to be in community long-term with folks who are taking a very different approach to this issue and thinking about it really differently than myself.
So does that make you think about doing your advocacy differently?
I think it gave me a greater commitment to abortion access and a greater commitment to conversations that inform understanding. I realized the kind of medical nuance that you have to bring to these conversations. I think the idea of abortion access being oversimplified is something I became more committed to combating.
If I could comment on something.
Please,
you said, Ali. Going back to that question you asked, Julie, of like, how is this possible? And you said like just the vulnerability, Ali. And I think if we would have stayed surface level and just like, you know, just talked about these things up here, I don't think it would have been as possible. But like, we went deeper, we told our stories, we got more vulnerable. And I think like when we open our hearts and we become more vulnerable, it's so hard, like, not to be loved in that place. I mean, it's possible we can be rejected when we open our hearts, but I think like there was just such a beauty. And as we all just had that courage to take that step to share more deeply, we couldn't help but be moved by each other. And there was just like a true love and like true relationships and connection that was built because of the vulnerability. And I think the organizers really helped with that.
What would your recommendation be to other communities that are thinking about trying to have a conversation series like this to bring people together around whatever issue is really hard for them?
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to have good moderators who, as best that they can, try to be unbiased, you know, set those ground rules, have some activities to like educate on how to have these conversations. At first, I think if you just like try to have a conversation, I think you do need some structure and some organization to it, depending on what that is. But I think that was really helpful. And I think just as best you can to have open hearts and recognize that like we're more alike than we are different.
Anything to add, Ali?
I think what I would recommend to folks is that you make space to recover from things that are hard. I do think like one of the things that's really defining us in this current moment is our willingness to treat one another
as disposable. Our willingness to say, you don't agree with me, and therefore I don't ever need to be in community with you. And I think being able to apologize, being able to like take into consideration another person's perspective and what it means to them is a real skill. It's like a muscle you have to build. And, you know, part of what you're doing in listening to somebody who is challenging you, is letting yourself get stronger.
Ali Muldrow and Bria Halama are two of the participants in the Abortion and Family Wellbeing Solution Session that was developed by Citizen Solutions. It took place in Wisconsin. Citizen Solutions is a civic experiment that gives citizens across the ideological spectrum the power to co-create solutions to politicized issues. It's an initiative of the Nonpartisan Builders Movement, and you can learn more about Citizen Solutions on their website, citizensolutions.us. Bria, Ali, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you, Julie.
It was an absolute honor to get to talk with you, Julie. And Bria, I love any time I get to hang out with you.
Agreed.
Thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. What do you think about that experience that Bria and Ali had in that 4-day session talking with strangers about abortion? Is that something that you would sign up for? I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can reach out to me, uncomfy@byu.edu. And if you've recently had a stick with it moment where you chose to engage with someone you disagree with on a sticky topic, why did you make that decision? How did it go for you? Be sure to tell me that story as well. Maybe we'll even have you on the podcast. Again, the email is uncomfy@byu.edu. And be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind with Julie Rose. You can find it on all the podcast platforms. Every episode explores a tough topic in a way that can help us practice staying open and curious in the face of challenging perspectives. You might even want to check out one of the episodes we did about a year and a half ago, where we featured some famous abortion talks, as they're called, where people on both sides of the abortion issue in Boston in the 90s met in secret for 6 years, having talks very similar to what Bria and Ali were describing, and it was transformational for them and for their community. You can find that in the Top of Mind feed. Look for it anywhere you get podcasts. Uncomfy is a BYU Radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, if you are on the lookout for another awesome podcast, check out Constant Wonder. It's also from the BYU Radio Network. It's hosted by my friend Marcus Smith. And it is like embarking on an exhilarating journey through captivating stories about our magnificent natural world. As you listen, you'll gain profound insights into different facets of our planet. You'll discover more about nature. I've learned about whales and bees and nematodes from listening to Constant Wonder. And you might even find yourself pondering your own connection to the wonders of this earth. So wherever you usually get your podcasts, do yourself a favor and go check out Constant Wonder from BYU Radio.